This is Audible.
Hi there. My name is John Scalzi. I'm the author of The Sagan Diary, which you are about to listen to. I hope you enjoy it. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the story itself. It came about because in 2006, John M. Ford, a science fiction author, passed away, and one of the things that he left provision for was an endowment for the Minneapolis Public Library in his name, Minneapolis being where he was from. I wanted to help this out, and so what I did was I took a pre-release version of a book I had just written called The Last Colony and put it up for auction. Now, in order to goose the auction bids, I made promises that if the bidding reached certain levels, that I would throw in more stuff. And I made the joking aside that if the bidding got up to $5,000, which I didn't expect it to do, then I would write the winner a short story because clearly they deserved something extra. Well, Bill Schaefer, who is the editor and publisher of Subterranean Press, which is a small press, thought that was a pretty good deal, so he bid $5,000, and then I was obliged to write him a short story. He wanted a short story in the universe of Old Man's War, which is my most popular series, and which is also available on Audible.com. What I decided to do was to write from the point of view of Jane Sagan, who was a major figure in both Old Man's War, the first book, and its sequel, The Ghost Brigades. Now, what I also wanted to do was to try some new things with writing. I'm very good with dialogue and action scenes and all that sort of stuff, but I wanted to see if I could write an internal monologue where someone is basically going over their life and just trying to make sense of what's come before and what's about to happen. To top this all off, I had never written from the point of view of a female character before, and so that was going to be a challenge as well. These are the things that you do when you're an author. You try to challenge yourself, even with something as simple as a short story. It was an adventure, to say the least. There were a couple of times where I was just so frustrated. I was like, oh, the heck with this. I'll just write something where things blow up. But in retrospect, I'm actually very proud of this story. I think it's one of the best things I've ever done. And I hope that when you listen to it, that some of that pride comes through and that you enjoy something of a change of pace for me. In any event, thanks again for listening and enjoy.
Audible Frontiers presents The Sagan Diary, written by John Scalzi and read by Stephanie Wolfe.
Preface note to ISC/IRI-003-4530/6C. The Sagan Diary. Colonel Blauser. As per your instruction in your memorandum of 341.10.07, we have begun processing the brain pal memory stacks of Colonial Special Forces members who have left that service. Whether by death or, rather more rarely, by discharge from service. In both cases, BrainPal retrieval was initially via method previously established in our CDF BrainPal retrieval protocol. But, per the new directive of 341.10.09, we abandoned physical retrieval of CSF BrainPals and instead began processing BrainPal memory transcriptions as provided by the Special Forces' own IRI office. Let me reiterate again here, in this memorandum, what I have expressed to you verbally, which is that processing CSF-provided transcriptions is a massively unsatisfactory solution. The first 7 CSF memory stacks we processed were rich in information that we then placed into our analysis matrix, and which were beginning to yield intriguing results, before we were ordered to remove the data from the matrix and delete all analyses featuring the data. Data from the CSF-provided transcriptions have been notably inferior and, While our own forensic scans can show no overt signs that the CSF is tampering with the data, it is my professional opinion that the transcription data have been redacted in some way. I have requested funds and clearance for a more thorough forensic scanning. That request has been in your queue for several days now. I would greatly appreciate a response to it in one way or another. To give you a sample of the sort of data that we are limited to processing at the moment, I am submitting this file, which we have informally been calling the Sagan Diary. It is a transcription of a series of personal files from the brain pal of former CSF Lieutenant Jane Sagan, who was discharged from service last week and, somewhat unusually, chose to settle on the established colony world of Huckleberry rather than on Monroe, the colony world set aside for retired special forces. These diary pieces are taken from the last several days before Sagan transferred her consciousness from her special forces body to a standard human template body. I don't need to tell you that for IRI purposes, late-term brain pal files are typically a gold mine of data. As service members reminisce on their time in service, in doing so, refreshing critical data for analysis. Lieutenant Sagan, in particular, should be a potentially rich trove of data, as she was present at or participated in several key battles/engagements in the last few years, notably the Second Battle of Coral and the Anarchic Offensive. She being Special Forces, she undoubtedly participated in actions which are classified, but which, I would remind those in the Special Forces, we here at IRI are rated to know and view. Instead, what we have to work with are data-poor bits in which Lieutenant Sagan thinks about what appears to be a romantic partner of some sort. Cursory investigation suggests a CDF Major, John Perry, who also mustered out of service on the same day and who was on the same shuttle to Huckleberry as Lieutenant Sagan, accompanied by an unrelated minor, Zoe Boutin. A number of data files for Perry and Boutin are marked classified, which is why I note the investigation was cursory. The diary files are of some anthropological interest, to be sure. It's nice to know Lieutenant Sagan is in love. Major Perry seems like a lucky fellow. However, for our purposes, these files are near useless. The only data of analytical note are Sagan's notation of the Third Battle of Province and the Special Forces retrieval of the Baton Rouge's ill-fated Company D, about which, of course, we have a wealth of information, thanks to all the brain pals that Encounter sent our way, and a discussion of her relationship with prisoner of war, named Kanan Suen Su, who stay with and work for the CDF, is classified, but otherwise well-documented. Beyond this, the data are thin on the ground. If I may be frank, Colonel, if the Special Forces are not going to allow us unimpeded access to the brain pals of its fallen and retired soldiers, then I must question the utility of our processing the data from those brain pals at all. We process thousands of brain pals in a month, from regular CDF, and we barely have the staff to keep up with that. Spinning our wheels, processing bogus data from the Special Forces takes up time and processing power we don't have from data which can be of actual use to us. Either we are all working together here, or we're not. Colonel, please read these diaries carefully. I'm sure you will come to the same conclusion we have down here in the processing labs. These diaries may be a window into Lieutenant Sagan's soul, but what we really need is a window into Lieutenant Sagan's history. I hope the rest of her life turns out the way she wants. Here in the labs, we need more data. Sincerely, Lieutenant Gretchen Schaefer, Chief Analyst, Subspec, Psych, CDF/IRI. Chapter 1. Words. Words fail me. There is a disconnect between my mind and my words. between what I think and what I say. Not a disconnect in intent, but in execution. Between the flower of thought and the fruit of the mouth. Between the initiation and the completion. I say what I mean, but I do not say all that I mean. I am not speaking to you now. These words do not pass my lips or pass out of my mind. I say them only to myself, forming them perfect and whole and interior, and leaving them on the shelf and closing the door behind me. Others may find these words in time, but for now they face only toward me, whispering back my image with full description, golems who write the words of life on my forehead. These words are my life. Representation of time and counterfeit of emotion. Record of loss and celebration of gain. They are not my whole life. Words fail me here as they fail anyone. Entire worlds slipping through the spaces between words and letters, as a life among stars is compressed into this small space. A short life, to be sure, and yet long enough to be lost in translation. But it is enough. Give us a few lines arranged just so, and we see a face, and more than a face. We see the life behind it. The terrors and ambivalence, the desire and aspiration, intention in a pattern, a person in a coincident assemblage of curves. This is that. A few lines to follow that, in themselves, mean little, but build on themselves. A crystal lattice using absence to suggest presence. The implication of more, pregnant in the gaps. I wish I could show these words to you. You who know me only from outward expression. I wish I could fold these words, package them, and present them with a flourish. A rare gift I made of myself to you. But these words do not bend, or rather they will not. Or perhaps it is that I cannot find the strength to push them through the doors of my mouth and my mind. They are stubborn words, and I fear what would happen if I let them go. They stay inside where you cannot come. They are meant for you, but not sent to you. Words fail me, and I return the failure. But these words exist. These words record. These words stand witness. These words speak, if only to an audience of one. These words are real, and they are me, or who I believe I have been. Incomplete but truthful, through a mirror darkly, but reflecting all the same. I have no doubt that one day you will find these words, and that you will find me inside them, a seed to plant in your mind, to become a vine, to filigree your memory of who I was and who I was to you. Words fail me, but I will use them anyway. And in their failure, and despite their failure, I will live again, and you will love me again, as you love me now.